Peter, that Galilean fisherman, has just made his glorious confession in answer to the Lord's question in verse number 15 to his disciples, "But whom say ye that I am?" To which Peter replied, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Here is the confession of the Christian faith addressed to Christ. Here is a confession of the true God as the living God in opposition to the dumb and dead idols of Romanism. Here is a confession of Jesus Christ, God's Son, whom God have sent into this world, whom to know is life eternal. The answer which Peter gave, Christ said to him, "And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It does not mean that Peter himself was the rock upon which Christ would build his church. But the true meaning of the words are these. The true meanings of the word, the rock, are this. The speaking of the Lord's Messiahship, his deity, which Peter has just confessed. "Now," says Christ, "this is the great truth upon which I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter made this statement when many were against Christ. He made it when the scribes and Pharisees sought to oppose the Savior and trip him up in his every word. He made it when Christ was unpopular, when Christ took upon him the form of a servant. Peter made this great statement, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Lord commends Peter. He says to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona." But he says this, "For flesh and blood have not revealed it unto you." What Peter said, the Lord had revealed unto him. It was a tremendous confession. Here is the confession, as I already said, of the Christian faith addressed to Christ. However, no sooner has Peter been commended by the Lord than the Lord has to rebuke the servant. The Lord Jesus has just told the disciples there, look with me, verse 21, that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. And Peter takes him, began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." What's he thinking about? There's only one person doesn't want Christ to go to the cross. And the Lord immediately reveals who that person is when he says to Peter in verse 23, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offence unto me, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man." How often we as the Lord's people can be so like Peter. One minute, by our mouths, by our lips, we're being a blessing to others. The next minute, like Peter, we've got it all wrong. We're saying things that the Lord's people should never say. The flesh takes over. Here he is, Peter. One minute, tremendous confession. Next minute, rebuked by the Lord. But the Lord, having shown his disciples that he must suffer and that he must go to the cross and that he must die and that he'll rise again, he then comes to this portion that I want to look at with you tonight. He begins to deal with the soul of man. He said in verse 25, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" It is those two questions that I want to look with you tonight, for the time that remains. Two questions that could be asked of every single individual on the face of this earth tonight, and it would be a relevant question. It would be a relevant question for this reason. Every one of you have a soul. Every man, every woman has a soul. And what's more, the Lord Jesus Christ shows us here, your soul will either be saved or it will be lost. Your soul will either go to heaven or it will go to hell. Your soul will either endure eternal punishment or it will enjoy eternal bliss. Christ's teaching on the soul of man. And that's what I want to speak on tonight. Matters pertaining to the soul. Matters pertaining to your soul. It's individual. It's now time to forget all about anybody sitting around you. This message is for you. Your soul. The first thing I want to show you is this. The origin of the soul. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Here we are at creation. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. And we read here. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. There we are at creation. And dear sinner, in this meeting, there is where your soul came from. God gave you that soul, a soul with all its faculties. And right now in this meeting, you would be most wise, you who don't have Christ, to cause that soul of yours to begin to breathe after God, to begin to seek the Lord, to seek the one who breathed into Adam in the beginning the breath of life. And he became a living soul. Yes, the very Lord Jesus, the Creator, tells us in this portion in Matthew that that soul of yours that God gave you, you can lose it. You can lose your soul. Christ reminds us that the soul of man was not created to enjoy the world for a season. Man's chief end is still to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. There's the origin of your soul, sinner friend. God gave you it. God gave you it. What about the value of it? Come back with me to Matthew chapter 16. Because the Lord says here, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The Lord Jesus Christ is telling us here that the soul is eternal. Its value, it's inestimable. It can't be valued. You see, the soul of man will live forever. The soul of man is made in the image of God. All that you do to the body will pass. All that you do to the body will pass. This world right now, as it is, will pass away someday. It'll be changed. You think of our world tonight, sinner. Kingdoms and nations have risen in this world. Kingdoms and nations have fallen. And all that we're left with are the ruins. But what does that tell us? That tells us that in that area, men once lived here. Men once worked here, raised their families. They wept here. They laughed together. They worked together. But my dear friend, all we're left with are the ruins. That tells us that people once inhabited this area. But my dear friend, what about the souls of those who were there? Because they live on. They've only changed their abode. They either went to heaven to be with Christ, or they went to hell to be without him. Christ reminds us that the soul which every man possesses, its origin is with God. It's eternal. It's immortal. That soul of yours, my friend, will live forever. The Lord Jesus telling us here is of more value than the whole world. God gave you that soul, sinner. That soul of yours will live on forever. Look at the question the Lord asked here. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You all understand that language. You understand that thinking behind the word exchange. Exchange is this. We give something to receive something of the equivalent value. That's exchange. We do it every day in life. When we walk into a shop, we do it whenever we go for petrol. Whatever you do, you give the value, you get what you pay for. You exchange. The Lord's saying to you tonight, sinner, the soul God gave you, what can you give in exchange for? Nothing. Because, my dear friend, the reason you can give nothing for it is this, because the soul's value is no equal. The soul's eternal. The soul will live on. All earthly things have a price. It's not so if you're a mortal soul. See, you have enough money. If you have enough money in the account, you're going to market hell tomorrow. There's nothing you can't buy. If you have enough money, you'll get it. It's not so with the soul. Christ says, what shall you give in exchange for your soul?
Its value is inestimable. Its value is no equal. God gave you it. It's made in His image. It lives on. It never dies. It just changes its abode. The soul of man, its value. We live in a country. Maybe there's some in this meeting and this just about sums them up. Many people treat their soul with the most disrespect. They forget that God gave them it. They forget that Christ asked this question, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And they think they'll live forever. My dear friend, you've got to see this. The origin of your soul was with God. God gave you it. God gave you life. Soon the day will come when you'll be called to reckoning as to your stewardship of your soul. And if it's found that you've lost it, though you've gained the whole world, you'll have died a lost, perishing soul. The origin, God gave you it. The value of it, it has no equal. Second thing I want to show you is this. Grounds for losing the soul. Grounds for losing it. There's no way we can go into this list. We'll name a few of them. It's an endless list. The grounds upon which men lose their soul. First one I want to show you is this. Look what the Lord says in verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. The grounds for losing the soul, sinner, let's begin with this one. Live for time. Forget about eternity. Live for sin and the pleasures of it. Live for the indulgence of the flesh, neglect the soul. Live to please and pamper the body that will decay. Neglect that soul which God gave you that will live on forever. My dear friend, that is the very ground for losing your soul. Paul told the church in Corinth, things that are seen, they're temporal. Things that are unseen are eternal. You see, my dear friend, sinner in this meeting, the reason you're not saved is because your heart loves your sin. That's the ground of losing your soul. That heart that's, the Bible says, is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That heart of yours desires the carnal pleasures of this world. But my dear friend, you've got to keep this in your mind. That's the ground of losing your soul. You say, preacher, I don't want Christ at the minute. Sinner, that's the ground of losing your soul. Just continue the way you're going. That's the ground of losing your soul. Just keep coming to church and not repenting. Just keep hearing the gospel. Never come to Christ. Just keep doing exactly what you've always done. And forever you'll be a lost, perishing soul. That's one of the grounds for losing your soul. The second ground I want to show you is this. Believing you can have your soul saved later. My dear friend, let's hear it this way. Death by divine appointment is this. And death by divine description is this. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. I'm just going to put this very clear. If you don't enter heaven at death, you won't enter heaven at all. Living with this theory that we'll get saved later is the ground for losing your soul. We've got to face this head on. This text allows this. We've got to face it head on. Christ telling us, God gave you your soul. Its value has no equal. Just continue to live for time, forget about eternity. Just continue to live for sin and self and forget all about Christ. Forget all about the gospel. Just continue to do that. That's the grounds for losing your soul. Just continue to think you'll get it saved later. That's the ground for losing your soul. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12. Because here's a man that did this. He did exactly this. He believed he would get his soul saved later. Who's preaching here? The Lord Jesus. The same one who's telling us in Matthew 16 the value of the soul, its origin, telling us all about it. Look with me at verse number 19. Here's this man, he's speaking. He's speaking to his soul. And he says, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I couldn't help speculate the last time I preached that message on Luke 12. I know speculation doesn't profit. But I couldn't help speculating when I came to this portion again. Because something caused this man to consider his soul. Because it's the soul he speaks with. He doesn't speak to the body, he speaks to the soul. Do we see him in the synagogue? Do we see him talk to a mother in Israel? Do we see him talk to a believer? Challenged again about his soul? I don't know. But I know this, something happened that day in that man's life that caused him to consider his soul. Because he said, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He went on to that ground of having his soul saved at a later date. Now, I can't tell you what made him consider it. But the Lord Jesus tells us that the night he considered it, he lost it. I don't know, was he in the synagogue? I can't tell you that. But Christ shows us enough. In all his omniscient knowledge of the night this man lost his soul, he tells us he considered it, and then he tells us he lost it. The same night. Before the morning broke, a few hours he had spent, something causing him to consider his soul, and then he loses it. Sinner, don't be deceived by the devil into the sin of presumption that will cause you to think you have time to have your soul saved at a later date. This man is the everlasting warning. Christ tells us the night he considered having it saved, he lost it. What a horrific way to enter into the caverns of hell. Having considered it one moment, putting it off again, and before the dawn of a new morning, he's eternally lost. Sinner, it's the ground of losing your soul. Another ground I want to show you of losing your soul is this. You lose your soul if you're deceived into thinking death's not the end. You'll be deceived into thinking, I can get this sorted out later. Or maybe you're here tonight and you take on the notion into your heart, death is the end. Sure, there's nothing after it. I was doing some outreach a few weeks ago in a city in Scotland. I remember talking to a man, and you get this question all the time, but he said this. He said, what are you going to do if you're wrong? In fact, I was asked the same question a few weeks ago in Dublin. What are you going to do if you are completely wrong about all this? I said, that's a fair enough question. I said, I'll answer your question. I said, I'm not going to do anything. I said, I'm happy. I enjoy what I do. And if I die like that and there's nothing, well, that's the end of it. I said, it's not going to happen because the Bible says it's not going to happen. But I said, if you want to ask the question, I'm not going to change anything. I'm happy. I'll die happy. No, I says, fair is fair. What are you going to do if the Bible's right? And sinner, what are you going to do? This book that tells you, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. What are you going to do tonight if you find out you have no tomorrow? Because when you have that found out, it's too late. You've lost your soul. Oh, my sinner friend, see it. God gave you that soul. It's made in His image. It'll live forever. It's eternal. And all these things that I'm showing you is the very ground upon which you can lose it. But the final ground I want to show you is this, upon which men lose their soul, is this: having a hope for eternity that's not according to this book. You see, we live in a world where there's much confusion on how to get to heaven. Anybody that comes to this church, thank God there's no confusion on it. But my dear friend, I warn you tonight, if you've imbibed into your soul any of the lies of the devil, and you enter the great bank of the Jordan, and you stand there on the verge of death with a hope that's not according to this book, my dear friend, it's no hope at all. Multitudes die around us without a light to cheer the tomb. And in very many cases, the reason is this: their hope for eternity was not according to this book. They died without a light to cheer the tomb. They died without a hope. My dear friend, oh the darkness. Oh the darkness of a man's final moments that leaves this world without a light, without truth. Turn with me to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. I'll show you a dark night, friend. John chapter 13. Look with me at verse number 30. Here's a man who died in darkness. Speaking of Judas, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. That word night there, certainly it's speaking of the physical darkness, but it's speaking of the darkness of the whole situation. Immediately he went out, and it was night. He's just betrayed the Lord. Let me tell you something. You know what happened that night? Judas sat there as he saw the Lord Jesus present the disciples with the bread and the wine. He saw the Lord Jesus institute the Lord's Supper, emblems that would remind the church until Jesus comes of a broken body and shed blood. And the Holy Ghost tells us Judas left there and went out, and it was night. Some of you here, I venture to say, will see next Sabbath day in this house that table spread. You'll see the emblems, you'll see the ordinance that Christ instituted. You'll see a table spread to remind the church here in Market Hill of a broken body and shed blood. And some of you will go up and go out. And my dear friend, it's night for you. It's night in your soul. It's darkness. You're lost in the darkness of your sin. You're going out, and though next Sunday it's not going to be dark out there physically, but all the darkness in a man's soul, it sees a table spread and knows he can't partake of it because he's not in Christ. He's never been saved. My dear friend, see this. That's the ground of losing your soul. That's the ground of losing your soul. Many have been, as we stand here tonight, Christ made it clear when he preached. As we stand here, many already have lost their soul. Those in Noah's day lost their soul. Those who died at Sodom and Gomorrah, they lost their soul. Christ made it clear. They were careless, rebellious, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And Jesus made it clear they lost their soul. My dear sinner friend, you know what the problem is? Your sin. Because naught that defileth will ever enter in. That sin that's an attack on God. That sin of yours that's an act of high treason against the one who gave you a soul. That soul that you have misused and abused to carry out your carnal pleasure and your carnal desires. But my dear friend, be warned tonight. The day of accountability is on its way. Christ telling you, God gave you a soul. Its value has no equal. As you sit in this church tonight, you're on the very grounds of losing it. And my dear friend, if it's found that you've lost it, it doesn't matter what you've gained in time. You've died a lost, perishing soul. Again, let me come back to this. Maybe you say, preacher, I'm not ready for this. I don't want Christ. Well, my dear friend, the logical conclusion to that thought is this. If the Holy Ghost and mercy to your soul never changes your mind, you're going to lose your soul. Keep it fair, square, the center of your mind. You've lost it. Death's going to take you, and you'll have lost your soul. The origin of it, God gave you it. The value of it, it has no equal. The grounds of losing it, my dear friend, there are many. But in closing, I want to show you this. The grounds of having it saved. What's the ground of having it saved? Because there only is one ground. Many grounds upon which men lose their soul. But our friend, there's only one ground of having it saved. It's redemption ground. The ground of peace is the ground of the finished work of Christ. Turn with me to Psalm 49. Psalm 49. Here's the psalmist speaking. He's speaking of the salvation of his soul. Look with me at verse number 7. Psalm 49, verse 7. None of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Now look with me at verse number 15. But God will redeem my soul. Sinner friend, there's what you need. There's divine intervention. Paul put it like this in Galatians 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Sinner, there's what you need. You need divine intervention. See it tonight. Forget all about the preacher. Forget all about the person beside you. The Lord's speaking to your heart. He's reminding you, God gave you that soul. Its value, it has no equal. You're on the very ground, sitting in a free Presbyterian church, of losing it. And if you never get to Christ, sinner, you've lost it. But see what the psalmist said. God will redeem my soul. Sinner, there's where you need to get to. You need Christ. You need to repent, believe the gospel. Here you are in another gospel meeting. This portion that we've looked at, it lends itself to this statement. What if you die in this church tonight? Now you say, preacher, you are really overstepping it. You say, preacher, you have absolutely no guarantee I'm going to die in this church. That's right. I don't. And you have no guarantee, friend, you're not. Do you see how volatile this is?
None of us have a guarantee to leave this place. And Christ bringing this word, unsaved friend, thundering into your soul. Your soul's origin is with God. Its value has no equal. You're not guaranteed to walk out that door. Christ telling you what you need. You need to get to the one that warns you of losing that soul. How much clearer can Christ be to you? You'll have died in church. Unbelievable scene. Died in a building open for the glory of God. Preaching of Christ. The good of souls. And you've died here. Will sinners see this? Because none of us are guaranteed to leave here. To guarantee yourself that is sin. Because that's the sin of presumption. I'll tell you what else is sin. I told you we had to face this head on tonight. To walk out of the meeting another night is sin. To walk out of a meeting without Christ is sin. That is an act of defiance. That is an act of rebellion. That's what that is. The gospel is not a take it or leave it. Christ said, repent, believe the gospel. He's reminding you tonight, sinner friend, how you got here. God gave you a soul. From the moment of your birth to this moment, you've misused it and abused it. Your day of accountability casts its shadow upon you, as mine does too. You're on the ground of losing it. But oh, sinner, if it's found that you've lost it. What a day. Picture yourself. Picture yourself, sinner friend, the day that John described. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. No hiding place. No deception that day. Books were opened. Every idle thought. Every word. The day of accountability has come. Your stewardship's required. How did you treat the soul God gave you? No preacher in view that day, friends, between you and God. No point of saying, but I knew such and such a Christian and they were the biggest hypocrite in Margaret Hill. My friend, on Judgment Day, the hypocrite in Margaret Hill is not the subject. Your sin's the subject. Your act of high treason against God is the subject. Yes, that's the day. Is it any wonder that the Lord Jesus in all his knowledge showed it to John a few chapters earlier in Revelation 6 and said that when sinners would see Christ, they would cry on the mountains to fall and hide them from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. You know why? Because they've lost their soul. And they know it. They were careless. They were rebellious. They were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And they lost it. They gambled in another moment. See, there is a day we will find out what caused the man in Luke 12 to consider his soul. Judgment Day. Because he'll answer for what caused him to consider it. And sinner friend, in this meeting, every gospel message you've ever heard, every tract placed in your hand, you that stand before God with the lost soul, the day of accountability. Sinner, it's time to get onto the only ground of having it saved. Redemption ground. Yes, you're a lawbreaker, so am I. But Sinner friend, Christ came. He gave the obedience that you can't give. Every moment of his life, he loved his God with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. He loved his neighbour as himself. And then, my dear friend, he took that life and he went to the Calvary. And there he gave his life a ransom for many. But sinner, I tell you this. If you lose your soul, I'm going to say the words of Christ here. You listen to them. Oh, you listen to them and you let them sink into your head. Because if you lose your soul, you won't ever, throughout the countless ages of eternity, hear this statement. You know what it is? Finished. Because, my dear friend, the wrath of God was only finished in one place. And that was Calvary. Christ drank damnation dry for all that flee to him. Because in the darkness of that cross, Jesus, the lover of my soul, shed his blood, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But sinner friend, if you end up in hell, you will never hear the word finished. Because hell is the never-ending, unceasing, everlasting visitation of the wrath of God upon the sinner who's lost their soul. Hear it. God gave you that soul. Christ tells you tonight it's of more value than the whole world. Sinner, if it's found that you've lost it, though you gain the whole world, you'll have died a lost, perishing soul. I know a fount, but, oh, I know a fount where sins are washed away. I know a place where nights turn to day. It leads us outside the city of Jerusalem to a cross. And there upon it the Son of God and the Son of Man gave his life a ransom for sinners. Sinners, see this tonight. Hear the gospel. Christ didn't open heaven for the righteous. He opened it for sinners. He opened it with holy blood. He opened it there at Calvary. He went to prepare a place. Then he'll come again, receive his people unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. Sinner, all you need tonight is Christ. The one that warns you here of the value of your soul. The one that tells you there's nothing you can give in exchange for it, but you've got to get to him. He says, come now. Come now, let's reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they'll be as wool. Sinner in Market Hill, is it not time you were saved? Think of the great words of Job 33, deliver him. Oh, friend, words that could be said of you right now. If you'd only come to Christ, deliver him. Deliver him from going down to the pit. For I've found a great ransom. And the ransom's the blood of our Lord. Holy blood. Peter called it precious blood. John in Revelation 1 spoke of the blood that washes from all sin. Sinner, is it not time you washed? Is it not time to wash and be clean? See in Christ all you need. An obedience, a righteousness to cover your guilt. Precious blood to wash you from all sin. Sinner, I think it's time you were saved. The Lord says now, repent, believe the gospel. Because Job said something else. Shows the horrific nature of the death of the unregenerate. He said this, because there is wrath beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, and then a great ransom can't deliver thee. You know what he's saying? If you lose your soul, if you end up in eternal perdition, eternal hell, not even the blood of Christ is getting you out of it. That's what that text means. Then a great ransom can't deliver you, because sinner, you've lost it. God gave you it. It's of more value than the whole world. Its value has no equal. You sit here in this meeting, the very ground upon which you'll lose it. But sinner, the Lord says tonight, it's time to get on to redemption ground. It's time you were saved. Repent, believe the gospel. Let's unite our hearts in prayer.